Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Aleph. We're holding the top line of Kuf Aleph, Omer Aleph, and the Gemara brings a braisa, Tanu Rabbanan. The halachas of this braisa we already learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Just that yesterday we discussed a person who gave tzemer litzaba, he gave the raw wool to the dyer to dye, and our braisa is talking about a person who gave etzim, wood to a chorosh, to a carpenter. However, the halachas are parallel, as we'll see. It's Tanurban. Hanoisan eitzim lechorosh. A person went and gave raw wood to a chorosh, to a carpenter. Las is men kise. And he asked him, please, make me a shear. Vasmi and safsal, and instead he made him a bench. Or the other way around. Safsal, he asked him to make a bench. Vyasame and kise. And he made for him a chair. Rameir Oimer Noisen Lloyd Demei Eitzev. Says Rameir, he should leave the safsal or the kisei with the uman. Of course, if he wants it, he's in tight. But if he comes in and says, I didn't order a safsal, I wanted a kisei, or vice versa, he can leave the goods with the original uman. And he says, you made a major shinoi. And this is therefore similar to a goslin that makes a shinoi. We're not suggesting that this uman is a goslin, but we're saying the same principles apply. That since he's made such a major change, the uman is now koina with shinoi, this new safsal or this kisei, and so therefore the original owner says, just give me back my eitzim. Like we've had previously in our perek, we started off the perek that a person who steals eitzim and then he made them into kalim, what's it? And he has to go and pay back the original eitzim kishas agzela. And that's what Rameh says. No, he's selling my eitzim. Just give me back my eitzim. Can't give me back the physical eitzim because they've already been changed into the kisei v'safsal. So give me whatever the eitzim were worth a week ago or whatever I gave you the eitzim to fashion the kisei or safsal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. In Mashevach Yasser al Yitzia, Noisen Loi Esa Yitzia, Bima Yitzia, Yisev al Shvach, Noisen Loi Esa Shvach. Yehuda says that the person that ordered the creation, the fashioning of the kisei and the safsal, he should go and get the kisei or safsal. However, because this person has done, quote-unquote, such a poor job, because I didn't want a safsal, I wanted a kisei. I didn't want a kisei, I wanted a safsal. So therefore, he's going to get the benefit of the lower of the two rates. What does that mean? Anytime a person hands over eitzim to a chorosh to fashion from that a kisei or safsal, then there are two numbers that you have in mind. Number one is the hoitzoris. How much did it cost this chorosh to produce this kisei or safsal? And number two, how much is it worth in the marketplace? You would assume normally that based on his labor and the time that he put in and whatever tools and whatever additional materials he put in.
Expertise
as well, exactly. That would be one figure, and that the shvach, the appreciation, would be a higher figure. Because otherwise, why would he be in the business of going and taking eitzim and having them be worth less than the amount of his hoitzais? However, it could be that there's a market fluctuation and things go up and down. As we know, these things happen. So therefore, the uman, the chorosh, his yodei al hatachtoina, because he made a change in the plans. The plan was to go and make a safsal, not a kisei, or a kisei, not a safsal. And so therefore, im hashvach yeser al yitzia. If the value now of the finished product is greater than the amount of his hoitzois, of his labors, loisol yeser yitzia. The owner does not have to pay him the larger amount for the appreciated final good, finish good, he can go and give him the hoitzois, which of course is a bargain, depending of course on the market. If the amount of the raw goods and the energy and the labor and the expertise that was brought to bear is greater than the shvach, in other words, if you wanted to resell this item in the street, it would be less than the amount of the hoitzois that he is charging him, then he goes and gives him the amount of the finished product. And presumably, vis-a-vis this fellow that ordered the construction of a kisei or safsal, since in fact the amount of the shvach is less than the other guy's hoitzois, he's getting a bargain because he's paying less than the other person put in all this time and effort and the additional materials. And now, presumably, he can go and sell it in the marketplace and make even a profit. So, machloikis Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha under those circumstances?
Rabbi Yehuda is optional or is mandatory?
What does that mean, optional or mandatory?
That the guy who owns the wood, he has the choice to pay the laws of the shvach or the work that he did, or he has to.
In other words, would he agree to a man that he can go and take it back? That's what you're asking. Instead of having to go and take the kisir safsal and paying it at the lesser rate, that he can go and take it. Just take the wood and say, you keep the safsal, you keep the kisir. Our Gemara doesn't address it from Rashi. Yesterday it was mashma that yes, he would have that option if he wanted to go and say, you know what? I don't need safsals, I don't need kiseis, I'm not in the market for selling these things. You keep it and just give me back my eitz. But Remeya says that is the halacha. Umayr and Remeya agrees, however, in the following case. He asked the person, please fashion for me a very nice chip. And he did a poor job. Instead of being triple A, it was a triple Z quality. Or safsal no, make a nice bench for you. Vasa safsal kor, and it was ugly. So then, why does Remeir agree in this case? Because there wasn't a fundamental shinoi, like changing from one item to the other. Since there's not a fundamental shinoi, you don't say that he is koina. Rather, here Remeir would agree to Rabbi Yehuda to the other standard. What's the other standard? He says, you did a lousy job. It's taka true. I ordered a kise, but I ordered a superior product, not an inferior product. But that's not considered to be a major shinoi, and therefore he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we do that same type of rechnin. If it turns out that the shvach is greater than the yitzia, in other words, you can sell it on the marketplace for more than that person's expense, overhead expense, etc., then fine. Then he's going to go and pay him the amount of the expense. However, if the amount of the expense is greater than the shvach, because he did a shvacha job, and that's why the hoitzois are worth more than the finished product is worth. Noisan mei shvach, that he goes and gives him the value of this product, according to the finished product in the street. So, Dr. Moni gets Iboy.
An option just to give him back. Or
not this time, he says he doesn't.
But did he pay him in advance?
No, we're talking about if he paid him in advance, then why would we be talking about the Yitzhak and the Shvach?
Well, I'm just saying maybe
he made an order. Adjustment. He made an order, and the order was, I'm going to go and pay you $50. I give you the wood, and I'm going to pay you $50 if you do a nice job. Turns out that he did a lousy job, and so therefore he says, I'm not going to pay you $50. So how much is he going to go and pay it? Therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agrees, he's going to pay him the lesser of the two.
Right, but
and
that is, just say, give me the back of the value of the wood. Yeah, I don't want
that to was that was Bill's question about half an hour ago.
And Rabbi Meir says, no, not in this case.
Yeah, what I'm saying, in this case.
No, he's a mode of Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, next time he'll go to a better professional. This guy was an amateur furniture maker. But he's still going to get a benefit because he's going to get a much cheaper rate than it normally would have cost. His $50, he doesn't have to pay the $50, he doesn't even have to pay the appreciated amount as a finished product, he can guess just get the overhead expense. And therefore, hopefully there'll be a margin that he'll be able to go and sell it in the marketplace and get another few dollars.
The market seems to ignore the cost of the transaction, the cost of waiting to sell it, the cost of marketing it. All this is considered to be meaningless, but it's not. We know that if you're trying to liquidate things, it takes time and effort and money if your money's tied up in inventory. I know the Gemara doesn't have interest rate, a present value money issue, but certainly effort, to take it somewhere. We had earlier, I don't want to take it to Hini, near Shvili.
Well, the question you asked is an excellent question, and that's the reason why there's something known as Mefarshim and Boskim and all the rest, I'm sure, who delve in greater depth into all of these areas. Getting back to our Gemara, now the Gemara asks Iboilu. The Gemara is going to ask a Shaila, and on the surface, the Shaila is baffling. Well, what is this Shaila all about? And in fact, the Gemara itself is going to challenge itself three or four different times in different ways. What exactly is the Shaila? As we'll see, Iboilu, Yeh Shvach Samonim Al HaTzemer, or Ein Shvach Samonim Al HaTzemer. The original owner had tzemer. He had wool. He brought it to the dyer. The dyer put on it some money, meaning he put dye on it. Now I have a tzemer that has dye on it. I want to know, do we look upon the saman, the dye, as if it's still tangible, as if it's still something that I can grab hold of? Or do I say it's totally absorbed into the tzemer, and therefore basically it's bottled to the tzemer? And again, so what's the shayla? Why do I care? What's the difference? So heichidami. So the Gemara is going to struggle with this now for the next 10, 20 lines, that I don't even understand what the shayla is exactly. Heichidami. Ilayim the gozel saman. Ah, a person went and stole samanim. Now, samanim is a form of plant, which everybody knows is the type of plant that you use to go and make dye. So he stole the original samanim in solid form, the solid plant.
It goes to black, but it could be...
I thought it's blue.
Or bluish black, I think.
What are we referring
indigo.
To?
Indigo is a plant that you specifically dye the blue variety.
Okay, so maybe that's what we're talking about, the blue indigo.
But red is it, they have for red, it's a different dye.
Presumably, probably indigo a distant cousin, which is called a red indigo instead of blue indigo. Whatever. Doesn't really make a difference what the name is, but the principle is that you have now the raw, solid good that someone stole, and then he made a dak, means he pulverized it and crushed it into small particles, and now he mixed it with water and let it go and form the dye. And at the same time he put in the tzemer into the water. Now the tzemer has become tzavua, now it's become dye. Okay, so what is now the shayla? So we want to know, let's look at the Rashi. Rashi is, let's look, Yeshvach. It's the last of the wide lines on the first of the narrow lines. Yeshvach. Kloimer. Chazusa. Chazusa means the appearance, that you see, the redness or the blueness of the new color, the new dye. Is that milzi? Is that something tangible? Olam milzi, or gunish. So what was the case? As Yomar Vatanu, he took the original solid plant, he went and dak, he crushed it, and now he mixed it with the water, shorin b'mayin kedarkin, like you normally would to manufacture dye. B'tzava ben tzemer shaloi, and he took his own tzemer, and he put it into that vat of the dye. Miboilat, yeshvach samonim al hatzemer. Do I say that the chazuta milzihi, oh, here is the dye, I see it in the shvach, in the tzemer. The omale, hav li samnoi d'shaklusinu, kidabaya l'meimer kamon. And therefore the person says, you stole from me my samamanim, it's right there. I see it with my own eyes in your tzemer. Give me back my samamanim. Aha, how's he going to give it back? We'll see in a moment. So Dr. Mar, back to the Iman. Say, hey, Chidam, ilay medgozal samamanim, vidakinim, vitarnim, vitzobem. And now the original owner says, give me back my samamanim. You stole it. I see it, it's right here. So tomorrow, take the claim, Mishum de Kanina Bishinoi. Really doesn't have a right to go and demand the original Samamonim. He was Koinet Bishinoi, and now it's part of his Tzemer. And therefore, maximum he can go and get the value of the Samamonim. So therefore, why are we talking about Yeshvach Samamonim or Tzemer? Ain't Shvach Samamonim or Tzemer? It's not as if the person that owned the Samamonim can go and demand the Tzemer now, which is now died with those samamanim, because the Ghana for the Gazlan, he was Koine Bishino. If he's Koine Bishino, he cannot demand the final product. What he can go and ask for is the value of the original samamanim. Okay, so that has nothing to do with Yeshvach, whether Chazusa Miltzihi, whether you can go and see it or not. The Gazlan samamanim Shiruyin Bitzavabo. Oh, it's talking about a situation where there was no fundamental shinoi. The shinoi that the Gemara was referring to was that you took the raw good. He took the raw plant, indigo or otherwise, and he crushed it, and then he mixed it with the water, and therefore he's made a solid into a liquid. That's a fundamental shinoi. Okay. Koine b'shinoi. Says Gemara, no, that's not our shai. Litzricha v'gozal samanim shiruyim. Oh, he already stole from someone else the vat with the dyes in it already. v'tzalamu, and he used that to go mitzveya his tzemer. So what's the shaita now? So my yeshvach samanam agabi tzemer. Do you go and say that you see the samanam in the tzemer? Do omalei havli sam noy nishukasinu. Give me back my samanam. The samanam were previously in the vat. You stole them. Give it back. Oy dilma, perhaps ein shvach samanam agabi tzemer. No, there is no such thing as the samanam still in existence. Do omalei leslach gaboy v'lemidi. I don't have anything of yours. You try to look through my entire estate, my entire home, everywhere. You won't find those liquid samamanim, that liquid dye that you had in the vat. You don't have anything. What do you mean you don't have that? Wait, tomorrow, Amri, the ain't shvach samanim agabi tzemer, according to the second tzad, that you don't see the tangible samanim agabi tzemer. Mimotzi omule les l'chol gaboy v'limidi. How can he go and say, I don't owe you anything, I don't have anything of yours? Even though I cannot expect that you're going to give me back the samanim because they've already been absorbed into the tzemer, but you have to go and pay me for the samanim that you ruined. How did you ruin them? By taking them from me and putting them into your garment? You had no right to do that, so at least pay me for those samanim. So again, what is the shaila over here? What do you say? Yes, samanim agabi tzemer. Ein samanim agabi tzemer. In all cases, you have to pay. Says Yuma, you're right. Rather, let's go to the other side of this shaila. Now what? We start off the other way around. Do you say that there is no such thing as shvach samanim on the tzemer, and therefore he's got to go and pay him whatever the samanim were originally, because he can't pay back the samanim, so he's due, so I'll pay the money. Oy dil miyesh samanim agabi tzemer, v'omalei hamanchi kamach shok linu. Or can the ganav go and say to him, Gazlan, say to him, here, mister, the tzemer is here, and yesh shvach samanim agabi tzemer, you see the chazutah, you see the dye in the tzemer, take it, it's all yours, mister, if you can remove the dye, it's yours. Frank Timura, shaklinu, does that make sense? By shakli, how is he going to go and remove? He's going to go and say kapitel to him, and all of a sudden the dye is going to go and jump up? I mean, how can he do that? So Timura, come on, it's often. You go and take good soap, a soap which is a paint remover, a dye remover, and you're going to go and soap it up and rinse it, and that's how you get back your dye. Frank Timura, avuri mever, tzofen avuri mever. You're right, there are these types of soaps that can remove the dye from the original garment. That's true. However, I shovel the oven, but he did not do a proper hashava because he's supposed to be vivacious like zeila asher gozal, and this dye that is being removed, you cannot use it again to dye other garments because it's been so severely diluted and removed from the tzemer, it's now worthless to try on a new garment. So therefore, this is not a proper Shabbos Gzeila, and Avadi is going to have to pay him the money. So again, I still don't understand. What is your Shaila? What do you keep on asking me? Whether you can tell that there is the dye inside the baggage. You cannot tell. What difference does it make? You stole it, you got to pay for it. Says, well, you're right. Okay, I have a brand new Shaila. Elo ha'och ma'yiskinan, you're going to gozel tzemer, this amonim dechad. You have a gazlan who stole from Beryl, both tzemer, both the wool, and samanim, as well as the samanim, as well as the dye. And what did he do? Betzave lahu tzemer b'hanach samanim. He was a nice guy, stole the other guy's tzemer, the wool, and he stole the dye, and then now he dyed on his own the tzemer. Exactly. Exactly. And now he's willing to go and give him back the tzemer, and he says, here, I'm giving you the tzemer, and I'm also giving you the samanim, because now I've merged the two, they're now fused, you get both. So do I say, yeshvach saman al gabi tzemer, v'kom mahadalei samanim, v'tzemer, do I say, he's doing a good job, he's giving both of them back, because although previously they were separate, so now they're together, I'm giving you the tzemer, I'm giving you the samanim, I'm not retaining anything for myself. Or we look upon the tzemer, the tzemer is obviously here, however the samanim are no longer tangible. Before I had this large vat of soup called dai, so I had something tangible, I could pick it up with a ladle, but now it doesn't exist anymore, it's gone, poof. I'm talking giving back the tzemer, but someone alone mahadale, but he's not paying the someone. So that's the shaila. Can you go and be yoitzer the din of being meishiv as agzela by giving him the someone that are now absorbed in the tzemer? Great, Mahamri, take the clay the ayakale nearly bedami. Why can't the Gazlan say, it's true, I owe you both the tzemer and the samanim. I'm giving you back the tzemer. Since I no longer have the samanim, I have to go and pay you. Guess what? I'm paying you by giving you tzemer, which is worth double what it was worth a week ago. Last time, when I originally took it, it was just the raw tzemer. By the fact that I went and dyed it, now it's worth much, much more. So that's worth more than the original tzemer, obviously, and it's worth more than the samanim. So I'm giving you full
hashavas gezeilah. The shvach, actually. The equivalent of the shvach, he's actually giving him the shvach. He's not there's also the yitzias, the wood to fuel the vat, to make it happen, and the labor, mm-hmm. But he's giving him the shvach of both.
But the Gemara over here is not talking that. When we started off today's Gemara, the shvach was that I'm asking him, please, to go and pay.
It was an uman, it was a choresh, right.
For sure. And I'm asking the choresh, do me a favor, make me a kiseh, make me a safsa,
dry my tzemer, etc.
All of that's correct. Over here we're talking about a person that stole the two items, both the tzemer and the dye, and he dyed it for him. And so now the original owner says, give me back my tzemer, give me back my samana. So if you hold that yesh samanim, that chazus milza, that you can still see the samanim, so I'm giving you back. I'm giving you back the tzemer and the samanim. If you're going to go and tell me, no, the samanim is already now, in a sense, evaporated, because it's now all part and parcel of the tzemer, so you're not giving me the samanim, now give me back my samanim. So Yomara says, I don't understand the shaila. Just by the fact that I'm giving him now the dyed tzemer, am I not giving him not only the tzemer, the poel, the tzemer for sure, but even the samanim in terms of the value. I don't have to go and write out a check and give him $10 to the samanim, because now this tzemer is worth $10 more than it was worth a week ago. So therefore, the extra value of the appreciation as a result of samanim is baked into the finished product.
It's mitgishlep with the...
mitgishlep with the tzemer. So therefore, what's the shayla again? During the last week, unfortunately, there had been a major market fluctuation, and the value of dyed wool has gone down dramatically. So that this wool that I'm giving back that has been dyed is worth less than the separate wool and the separate samanim. So if you go and tell me, yesh samanim, what was the last? Yesh shvach samanim about tzemer. So I'm giving you back both. Look, here's a tzemer. The tzemer was previously white. Now it's blue or red or whatever, so you're getting both of them back. So I'm doing a proper hashavah. However, if you go and say, no, ain't shvach samanim lagabi tzemer, I see the tzemer, yeah, I see that it's red, I see it's blue, mazel tov, but I want my samanim back. So if you say that that's not tangible, I'm not giving it back to someone. Under normal circumstances, the wool will have gone up in value, so it will go and include the value of the samanim. In our case, unfortunately, the value of blue wool has gone down. Maybe people want now red wool. They have a new fad fashion, you know. Black is beautiful, red is beautiful, blue is no good, whatever it happens to be. So it went down. So what I'm giving you back, I'm giving the tzemer. Tzemer presumably is worth the same as it was before. However, it's not worth as much as the tzemer and the samanim separately. And therefore, my question is, am I giving you back both of them? Or am I giving you back only the tzemer, and I owe you now at least the differential for the samanim? So that's now the first. Finally, we have the solution, what the shaila was at the outset. And now the Gemara says, or I have another pshat. V'imo yisem, ki goyin, shetzava behu kupa. This is, if you will, an interesting teret. Because the parsha pshat, according to Rashi, the first pshat is, kufa means a koif. Koif is a monkey, which means that he didn't steal from the fellow tzemer and samanim. He stole the other guy's monkey and his samanim. And what do you think he did with the samanim? He started monkeying around, and he used the dye to dye the monkey. So the monkey previously was black, and now it's a beautiful blue, which matches your very, very nice sweatshirt. So it's a really nice, pretty monkey. Do you think that this monkey has gone up in value as a result of the fact that it's no longer black?
And it's blue? Circus.
It has not gone up at all. It may have been a circus, but there was no circus at that time. So now that being the case, says the Gemara, do you say, Yeshvach, someone Magabi Etzemer? Don't complain to me. I'm giving you back the monkey and I'm giving you back the some money. You see the some money. You see. Anybody can tell it's no longer black. It's now blue.
But it's meaningless. There's no extra value to a monkey which is dyed blue. In fact,
that's
it might
true.
Be.
But if you hold Yesh Chazusa Miltzehi, that the dye is it's now in a different form. It's no longer liquid. Now it's solid. It's been used up for sure. But if you say that Chazusa Miltzehi, you see the samanim I'm giving back to you, and I'm giving back both. But your smarta is, come on, how do you say Chazusa? Come on, that's ridiculous. It's a blah. So therefore, that's the second.
It's
seven.
Not in usable form.
Right. You can't use it for dyeing wool in the future. It's worthless.
There's no question about it. The utility has gone down from 100% down to 0%. We all agree.
Okay.
But the question is this a hashavas gzeila?
No.
Why? I'm giving it back. You hold no. That's the second tzad. That's exactly what you're saying.
I understand why the first tzad does.
Because the first tzad says, I'm giving you back. You can see. Until now you had a black monkey and you had blue dye. And I'm giving you back a blue monkey where the dye is in the monkey. You don't like the blue dye monkey. You take it out with stuff and go and take it out with the soap. And then put it back into the jar. Put it back into the vat. And you'll have both of them. But I'm giving you back both of them. Whatever I took from you, I'm giving back to you. And Chazuta Milti, you see the blue dye, I'm not hiding it from you. That's one side I'm giving back. The other side is, come on, don't be ridiculous. Like Ariel is saying, I can't use
it's
these
irreversible.
Before they were inseparable, now they're not inseparable. So,
inseparable. So that's what the second side says, that in fact they have to pay for the Samanim every last penny. Because even though this is a cute monkey now that has blue dye in it, Mazel Tov, but I want back my dye. Dye was worth $10, pay me $10. So those are the initial two pshatim, where the Gemara is saying it's talking about gzeila. Ravina Amar, Ravina says there's nothing to do with the gzeila. Kunish the team of gzeila. But rather, Hachmai Skinik going to Tzemer Dechad, Vesamonim Dechad, Vekasi Koif Vitzamin Hu Tzemer Vana Samonim. You had two people, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven owned Tzemer, and Shimon owned Samonim. And then there was a koif that belonged to nobody, a monkey that was hefker. But you know why the monkey was called a monkey? Because he likes to monkey around. And what did he do? The tzavil hu tzemer bar samanim. He took Reuven tzemer, he took Shimon samanim, and he mixed it together. Okay? Yesh shvach shvach samanim al gabi tzemer. To omalei havli samnoi de gaboch nidl. Can the bal samanim go and say to the Baal HaTzemer, you have my Samamanim, you have to give it back to me. Not that the Baal HaTzemer stole it. Baal HaTzemer was in the middle of the daf when this was all taking place, as was the Baal HaTzemer. The two were sitting together, discussing all of this, and then there was a monkey out there that didn't go to the daf. It's a monkey's a monkey. And then he mixed the two together. And now the Baal HaTzemer says to the Baal HaTzemer, you're my best friend and I love you, but give me back my sum of money.
So there's no human agent at all here who did any act of gzeila whatsoever.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. We're not talking about gzeila. It
could be an accident also.
Oydilma, ein shvach samana magabi tzemer. V'omulei, les lechol gaboy klom. I mean, I'd love to give it to you, but you know.
Take it back. How you, take it back.
Take it back. If you want to bring your soap and remove it, by all means,
good luck.
But I don't owe you anything.
It's an onus, takes a
shot. Exactly. So that's the shayla. Nothing to do with gezel. It has to do with, if you look at Rashi, about 10 lines to the bottom, you're going to tzemer dechad, besamanim dechad. V'lav v'ni gezel kaboyla. Then come gezel. There were no gezel. The only one that stole was our friend the monkey. The monkey doesn't have the tariq mitzvah, so, you know. So he mixed and matched. And he, if the monkey could speak, would say, I didn't steal anything. I was just trying to help out these two people and, you know, get them closer together by dying the other guys at tzemer. Anyway, so the question is, can he go and demand from him, give me some amanim her? That's called Gaboy Klum. The Starshima. Let's try to bring a raya from Hilchois Orla. Begit Shetzvoy Beklipe Orla Yidolik. Orla, we all know, means a fruit for the first 3 years. There's not only an Isser Achila, but even an Isser Hanoa. You're not allowed to have a Noah from the Klipe Orla. Now, Rashi quickly points out, we're not talking about the Klipe who ate. We're not talking about bark of a tree. We're talking about klipe egoizim ashapeirs. We're talking about what we would normally throw out in terms of the shells or the peels of various types of nuts or other types of peiros. That's what we're referring to. Why is that so important? Because the halacha of Orla only applies to peiros. It doesn't apply to eitzim that grow the first 3 years. Okay, so you have a begit, it's for the klipei arla. You took a begit and you had surveya, you went and dyed it with klipei arla. Were you supposed to do that? The answer is no, because you're not allowed to have anah from, not only can't you eat arla, you cannot have anah from arla. And therefore you don't like, if you just have to go and burn it, because that's the halacha of arla, that arla cannot be used. Alma, so what do I see from this chazusa milzi? That chazus is something. Because if you're going to tell me that chazus is nothing, I have no klipe arla left. Do you see the klipe arla here? No. I just see a beggar that was previously white and now it's red. So, big deal. But if you're telling me that the existence of a dye or of a color in a beggar is not something tangible that you can grab hold of, so then there's nothing arla that I should have to go and burn. So you're going to go and tell me, oh, well, it's in the beggar. But if you hold lav milzi, he has his garnish, okay, so it has a nice color, beautiful, but the mice, there's no arla left. And therefore, you don't have to. So the fact that it says, yidolik al chazus milzi, oh, so we can be pointed that in fact it is chazus milzi. And therefore, in the case of the monkey, where the person can go and say, you have to go and give me back, you see the tseva inside the tzemer, it's there. Don't tell me it's less l'chol gaboy v'loy midi. It's there. Therefore, you're going to have to go and give me the differential between the value of your original tzemer and the value of it now.
But he didn't do it. It may be in there, but it's like somebody came, a third party came and took into somebody's property and improved it using materials from a neighbor. The recipient of the benefit didn't instruct. He benefited, but the real guilty party in this case is the hefker monkey.
For sure.
And so there's no, why can we compel the beneficiary of the tzemer?
I hear loud and clear. What happens if the monkey were to go and steal Reuven's wallet and he puts it into Shimon's pocket? Could Reuven say to Shimon, give me back my wallet?
No, but that's not, first of all, that's reversible, number one. That already takes it in a separate class by itself. Return the wallet that was there. It's not like
the principle. If someone hands over to you something,
if you could reverse the die, perhaps, but since you can't.
Says you can reverse it. You can go
you
and
can't, you can't, but you get back something that's worthless. It's meaningless.
True, but I'm giving you back what I didn't take it.
You didn't get, you're not giving me back my die. You're giving me back a worthless solution that I can't use to dye anything else.
What you're saying is correct, but remember, he wasn't the goslin. It's not his fault that somebody went
to the goslin. So why is he chayav to pay it? Why is he chayav to pay it?
Because you have to, just like you have to give back the wallets. Your wallet, it's not your wallet.
But it's reversible.
Oh, that's the shaila. Is it chazus and milzi or lav milzi? If you say milzi, then I have to give it back to you. Not that I have to squeeze it out. I tell you, you want to get you some money, take it and squeeze out and use this stuff and all the rest. But as you said, it's not my fault, so take it. Or do you say.
Why is it different from honest?
It's honest completely, because the monkey isn't honest. He's among Kof Shal Hefker.
This box of tissues belongs to Brother Shai. I give him throat, you can catch.
Wow.
Okay. You can take it?
No.
Brother Shai, do you want back your tissues? He wants back his tissues. Okay, that's good. Very good. I think this is a legal ball game or something today. No,
these guys are okay. We're practicing.
Beautiful. Oh, practicing. Good. So the point is, Bill didn't take it. Brother Shai didn't give it away. I stole it and I gave it to you.
But
you have to cough it up.
He with coffee. Let's reverse it. Now he puts coffee.
Don't throw the coffee.
Comes and put coffee.
Don't throw
it. Or he uses the tissues to
blow his nose.
Right. Don't give back those tissues. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it was a total oiness from your standpoint, right? You didn't take it. Somebody showered it upon you, and Baruch Hashem, you're a very able person. You caught it so beautifully. But the point is, you were total oiness. Do you have to give it back? Of course you have to give it back. It's not yours. So he has to go and give back the dye. He says to him, I don't have your dye. What do you mean you don't have your dye? I see it there in the tzemer. So if you say that it's chazus and milzis, it's tangible, you got to go and give it back. If you say that it's evaporated mid-air, and this tzemer is taka red, but there's no salmonim left, so I have nothing to give you back. You know, what am I supposed to do? So that was the Gemara Shaila. Does he have some duty to try to return? The Gemara saying, I'll bring you a raya from Arla. The case of Arla, it says that this beggar has to be burned. Why does it have to be burned? There's no Arla left. There's no klipi Arla left. It's all been changed a million ways, and now it's just a dye in this beggar. Sorry. I can see that Orla the klipi, orla deer in the beggin, therefore you gotta go and burn it. So I see the dye inside the tzemer, you're gonna have to give me back thy sabamanim. I know you didn't do it, you're not guilty, whatsoever, you're my best friend, I love you, but you gotta give it back to me. How do you give it back to me? Here's the tzemer. Either go and sell it and give me back the money for the tzemer, I'll sell it and I'll give you the money, or to remove it any way you want with the tzofet. But there has to be some sort of...
We have the case back that is not enough.
That's true. So therefore, if you don't want the actual sum of money itself, presumably he would hold it, you'd have to go and sell the tzemer, or he would just cough up $10 from his pocket. He said, I have gained by the fact that my tzemer is no longer white. Now it's red and blue, and it's much nicer now. So the price in the marketplace is $10 more, so I'll give you the $10 for the appreciation. So the choyr I can bring a rye from
Klippi Orla. First, if it's a case where dyed wool dropped in price, mm-hmm. with the Baal HaSamamonim have to pay for the damage it did to the Rot Semer. I mean, if you're going to say, if Chazusa Milsehi, then the Baal Semer can say, you know, there's been a flood of denim on the market here, I'm suddenly stuck with unsellable wool fabric here, I want damages. Mm-hmm. Get your Samamonim out of my tzemer. And the guy says, I don't take it out because I have no benefit for it. I'm getting anything for it. Mm-hmm. Tough luck. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can he sue him for damages? Because we had that a moment ago.
Yes.
Zol Tzivia, right?
Yeah, all of that is true. Again, there we're talking about that the person was a gazel.
Right, I'm saying, but it's
the bystanders, because the monkey monkeyed around.
Right, but if the monkey did it, so then there's now a hezek against the Baal Tzemer from the monkey damaging it with this, or the monkey died in a way where it hurts it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So they're going to have to work it out. Omer Rabbis Haberayif in the case of the Klippi Orla, not Omer Rabbis Toshima. We have right of Klippi Orla, Chazusa Milzi, and that's why you have to burn it. And therefore, yes, you cannot say Les Lecha Gaboy Klum. You have my Samamonim. You have to go and give me back my soul, just like you have to give me back my wallet. You have to give me back my Samamonim. That's the way he wanted to be pashut. Amarava, no. Here the case of Orla is special. Why is it special? Hanoa nearly anayim osra toira. Orla is different than kola toira kula, the sign like we learned in the Braisa. Areilim lo ye ochel. Engli ala isra chila. Minayim shal yehenem yemen of la yitzva boi vila yavlik boi yisaneh. Tamaloyim varal tabarlosi is period. Areilim lo ye ochel. Rabbi says kulam. What is this all about? So those of you that have the full pasuk here in the Torah Ara Shalem, and even those that do not, we'll just read it out. It's number one. You have it there? Good. For he savoyu al aretz unetatem kol eitz machal. You're planting now an eitz machal. Varaltem alosoy es period. Sholish shonem yelachem adreilim lo yeyachem. So lo yeyachem is clearly an israchila. Lo yeyachem. But there's three times the word orla used in this pasuk. Araltem, alosoy, adreilim. Why does the pasuk have to repeat this three times? Says, well, I'll tell you why. One is to tell you, lo yehena mimenu, you shouldn't have any hanah. Not only an israchila lo yeyachel, don't have hanah. Number two, lo yitzva boy, you shouldn't go and die with it if you have klipi orla that you can die with. Lo yavlik boy yasaneir, if you have other types of klipi orla that can use for firewood, for fuel, don't do that either. Both the lo yitzba and the lo yadlik are included in the lo yehena because you're having hanoah. Why do you have to have three special limudim? One for hanoah, one for tzviya, one for hadlaka. So Tosis has already asked this kasha.
Yeah.
If you look at the big Tosis, lo yitzba boy v'lo yadlik boy esener, halfway down the omen. Avagav the osar shar hanoah. Even though I already said you now that I have hanoah, itzrich lerbuya tzvi v'hadlaka tzvi mishum dechazusa ba'almuhu. I might have thought, Tzvi is not really having a no, it's just a color. And therefore, suggests, you know, and turning from a white to red.
Kol and reyachim ba mishmila.
Exactly, so I would think it's gornish. V'hadloka mishim shekol ho isra b'shas hadloka. You can't go and say to the person, you did something wrong, I taka burned the arla at the time that he was mavlikit. So if I might have thought that those perhaps would be exceptions to the rule, and you'd be able to go and use tzviya because it's gunish, kol marvarech, like you said, is gunish. And I would think that hadloka, if anything, maybe I'm in mekayim mitzvah and I'm burning the uviyar tarom mikirbecha. So I might have thought, the answer is no. All of these three, regular hanoah, and these two special types of hanoah, the tzviya and hadloka, are all Asr.
It says yadlik. I mean, it's interesting. The lack of a sinir. If you're yadlik, if you're using it for an air, you are burning it, and you can't burn, for instance, truma tumea for hasaka. Why yadlik is
can or cannot.
A truma tumea?
Yes.
A coin can use it for hasaka. Yes.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. But here it's saying yadlik. So why can't you use it the yadlik bo sinir?
So he's saying that if you did something wrong, that you went and you took your beggar and you tzvoy b'klipi arla, yidolik, you have to go and burn it, so you shouldn't have any further hanoah from this tzviya. Get rid of it. In the case, however, what the Gemara is telling us is, lechatchil, you're not allowed to go and take arla, fruit, to eat, and you can't take klipi arla even to have hanoah from. What type of hanoah could you have? Hanoah, for instance, tzviya, hadlaka, type of hanoah. What other types of hanoah could you have? Selling it, of course, to a goy, or giving it to an animal. Anything that involves having any type of hanoah, alt is awesome. How do I know? Because it says the three times, tamalim are altam, once, or losay, two, esperim. Number three, areil layach, the rabbi says, cool. But what is Rava telling us? But this is a special orla halacha that doesn't apply to kol ha-terikula, and therefore I cannot be poshut my shayla, the gabe, the koyf that went and stole and mixed and matched the tzemer with the tzemer. It's Tarshimas. Let's bring a raya now, not from Orla, but from Shvias, which of course means Shemitah products. Beggar Tzvoy beklipe Shvias. If you went and you would say Veya, you dyed your beggar with klipe Shvias. You don't like, same Allah, get rid of it, burn it, you're not allowed to have Anah. What's wrong with that? After all, you are allowed to eat Peroi Shvias, so what's the problem? So the Gemara says, elsewhere, li ochlo v'loi l'schoira, that you're allowed to have Anah from the payers by eating them. But not having business. So the word business over here is a broad enough term that includes using it for tzviya, even though he may not be actually selling it. But the words means the only thing you can go and do with Peirush Mita is eat them, nothing else. That's how Rashi seems to learn. Others say that it's talking about after the Zman Bior. As you know, you're only allowed to hold on to Shemitah produce as long as there are still produce out in the fields for the chayes. Kola lechaya min asoda, kalei levehem techo min abayis. Once the chayes don't have, then you have to go and be mavired, you have to go and take it out of your rishus and leave it out in the fields for the chayes or havlofraniyim, etc. So that's a din of beer. So Gemara is talking about, if you took a beggar and it's going to creep your shvias, you're going to hold it beyond this man beer, or beyond this man beer, you don't think you have to go and destroy it. Okay. Anyway, what do I see from this? That chazus and milzi. Because otherwise, what I do with the beggar? It's the same beggar that I had before. Okay, now it's red, now it's white, it's blue. But same thing. It's a chasim and that chazus and milzi. So we'd be able to be poishad ashayla. So to Marshani also there, it's all too different. The Amakrat says in the Pasik, Tihia. Where's Tihia? That's the Oiz base. Why do you have to say tiyah? It remains intact the way it was throughout. Okay, therefore it's all too special. Then, no raya to our case, chazus and milzi, yes or no. Rova Rami, Rova asked the stira. Tanakh, we just learned the Mishnah on the Amud Aleph, which we just quoted a minute ago. Beg you to tzvoy b'klipi, or the Yadolik, you have to go and burn it, get rid of it. Or maybe I'll ask you a kasha. Ravi is damshe nivla rabayis. What happens if you go into a house and there's a ravi is a dam which is nivla? It's absorbed into the karka habayis, into the floor. The floor was not a nice linoleum floor. It was made out of dirt. And anybody that walks there says, "Oi, look at that red big blotch in the middle of the room." And people tell you, Nebuch, somebody, Rechmon Leslan, passed away, and dam flowed, and there's a rias dam, which is nivla, in the bayis, into the flood. So now the halacha is, now there's no dam left. It's the only the chazutza. You can see the red blotch, but the dam has dried out a long time ago. Shteito in Ein Breis Hashem, one Mishnah, habayis tamei. The amila, others of the gears, habayis tohar. So make up your mind, is the bayis tamei, is the bayis tohar. Now, Rashi really reminds us that since it says in the Pasuk, Al kol nafshes meis lo yovoi, for to have an oil hames, you don't have to have, Rachman al-Islam, a corpse of a person, or the bones, even the dam is enough, you have to have a revius of dam. Why is that? Because the word nafshes meis, we have another Pasuk, the dam hu ha-nefesh, and therefore, this, the dam that's on the floor, Nebuch, That's from a mess, and that is also mitame ba'oil. As long as you have a revi, it's tam mitame ba'oil. Even one Gemara, I think it's Rabbi Kiva that says, even if two people, half from him and half from him, but we don't need to go on to that. We're talking about only one person.
Yeshem l'mikro, yeshem l'mesora.
Yeah, very good, very good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, in many. Revi is tam shenim ba'bayis, ba'bayis tam yam le'bayis tohar, v'loi pligi. Ha b'kelim d'ham me'ikar, ha b'kelim d'osel l'besoif. We're not talking about the physicality of the house itself. Rashi says it's a house and not makabel tuma because it's karka, it's b'chubra, it's the ground. Ground doesn't become tummy. So in Barzoi, so what can become tummy? Kalim, which are inside the house. So if the kalim were there initially when Nebuch, when the person's blood was spilled when he passed away, so then the kalim were there when it was real live blood. So of course those are tummy. What are the kalim? Why does it say in the other Braisa or the other version that Bais Tar? It's referring to kalim that came into the house after the blood was already absorbed into the karka, and therefore apparently Chazusa lav miltzehi, and those kalim are tahar. Now let's go on to the next case. Nivlo b'ksus. What happens if dam got absorbed in the ksus? Could be the ksus of the nifter himself or somebody else. And now there was more than a revi'ah's dam that became nivla that got absorbed into the ksus. And it's now this ksus is lying there in the oil. Does this oil become an oil hamas that it's metame or the mekalim and all the rest? So says the Yom, says the Brice. Royin im miskabeses haksus v'yoytzim imena revi'ah's dam. If you were to go and take this ksus and go and soak it in water in a washing machine or whatever to do kvisa, to launder it, and how much blood came out, the equivalent of revi'ah's dam, how do you measure that? Rashi says it's easy. You put in the washing machine exactly 1 gallon's worth of water, and now that you washed out the ksus, you take the shirt out, and then you discover, hey, it's no longer just 1 gallon of water, there's 1 gallon plus a revius of dam. In other words, it's grown. Obviously, the dam is going to get diluted in the water, but the point is that it's a gallon plus a revius. No, then tomato, then obviously this begir is tame, and all the kalim inside the house are tame because there was a revius of dam. The emlav, however, if when you wash out the begir, there's less than a revi'ah's dam, even though initially we know that there was a revi'ah's dam that got absorbed in the beged, but apparently some of it evaporated. Because after all, when you're washing out now the beged, you don't get a full revi'ah's anymore. So then it's tar. So now the question is, why do you care whether or not your miskabeses, mishkabeses, when you're talking about the ksus, since I know that initially there was more than a revi'ah's dam that went into the ksus, why don't you say chazusa miltzehi, and I see the blood, and I see the blood is a revi'ah's plus, and therefore everything inside the oil should all become tamei, and I see by, So
when you take something out of a washing machine, it's heavier than it was before naturally. So you have to squeeze everything out, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking about after the squeezing. I see that you have not used modern-day washing machines, because modern-day washing machines, they go and squeeze everything out, and when you pull it out, it's schon ausgequetscht. I'm not saying that it's not damp. Yes, you still have to put it in the dryer, but it's no longer soaking
wet.
Soaking wet, dripping wet.
You take a gallon of water, and you put this bedded into it.
Oh, okay.
Then you take it out and you squeeze it and you see if you have more than a gallon after you squeezed everything out, then you know you have the revi'ah's dam.
Exactly. I think that's a very fine way of resolving this issue. So
I thought it was a dumb idea, but
okay, very good. Anyway, so the question is, Rav is asking a steer. The guy with the begad, so I'm a klippi, Arli Yidolek, we see Chazusa Miltzehi. I still see the Arli in the begad. Yet over here I say that this begad, even though I know for sure that it was more than a revi'ah's dam, if less than a revi'ah's dam comes out, then it's tar. Why is it tar? I mean, the building is tar, the begad remains tar. But why is the building tar? After all, there was a revi'ah's dam. Is the chasimin that Chazusa Lav Miltzehi? Is the chastira? Am Rav Kahana, Mekuli revi'ah ishonu kan. The dam tavusa drabanan, says Rav Kahana, in the case of the dam, it wasn't a dam issue that we were discussing. We're talking about a dam tavusa issue. What is a dam tavusa? So Rashi reminds us, what happens if a person has a cut? Not people don't like having cuts, but people get cuts from time to time, and blood comes out. What happens if more than a revius of dam chas v'shalom flows? Is that metame? The answer is no, because it's not min hames, it's min achai. Baruch Hashem, the person is alive and everything is great. If chas v'shalom the person is dead, and then there's blood that comes out, revius dam is metame. What happens if I have blood that is a mixture of the two? How could that be a mixture of the two? That Nebuch, the person, was stabbed, Rachman al-Litzlan, and blood started spurting out, and Nebuch, Rachman al-Litzlan, he died. And then more blood started coming out. So now the question is, what is this blood? Is this chai blood, or is this mess blood? The whole thing is a mess. There's no question. The question is, what status does it have? If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud, where's the Rashi? Vimlav Tohor Nagia Mikulavias Dam Tvusa. Dam Tvusa is about 8 lines before the wide lines of the Rashi. Dam Tvusa. Horug Shiotami Menaravias Dam Bechayov Ube Moisoi. More, it's more than a Ravias of Dam. But Safik Kula Bechayov, Safik Kula Moisoi. I don't know. It's mostly Chayov. It's totally Chayov, totally Moisoi, half and half. So that's called Dam Tvusa. Since it's a Safik, we are Machmir. However, it's a Drabanan. So therefore, if you don't have the actual blood itself, you have the blood which is absorbed inside a baguette, then I make it and I say, I don't have to worry about it, unless and until the brother Shai, together with Shelley, are able to go and squeeze out more than a revius of dam from this baguette. But if they cannot, then we are make it. We don't say in this case that the chazusa milzi, because it's a drabanan. Okay, on to the next gemara. Rav Rami. Again, I have a stira. Tonight, we learned in the Mishnah. Mimin ha-tsoivin, svichei, stim, v'koitze, yeshlen shvias, uldemeyen shvias, yeshlen bir, uldemeyen bir, alma eitzem yeshbehen mishum kedusha shvias. So we're talking about Shemitah here. We already said on the Amud Aleph at Shemitah, you have to be careful, la'achel v'loy l'schoyra. So what happens if you have svichei? Svichei means wild growth. Rashi points out the reason why we're talking about wild growth, because you're not a plant in Shemitah. So in Shemitah, if you have growing without you having planted, usually this is as a result of aftergrowth, meaning you had planted last year svichim, you had planted regular seeds, and then you had harvested. And as you harvested, or perhaps some of the original seeds never sprouted, and now in Shemitah year, oh, mazel tov, some of the earlier seeds which were duds now did sprout, or perhaps in the harvest some of the seeds fell into the ground and now they are growing on there. But it's all growing on its own, not that you planted it. So yeah, that's what's called svichim. Now stim mekoitza are two different types of plants which are used exclusively for dyeing. That's what nobody eats stim mekoitza, everybody uses it for a dye. Okay, says the Mishnah, Yeshlan Shvias, they have a din of Shemitah, Lidmein Shvias, and their Demayan, meaning if you were to go and sell it, then the Kedusha Shvias will transfer to the money as well. And Yeshlan Bir, meaning that you have to figure out on the calendar when is this man beer for these types of items. Yeshlan Bir, Lidmein Bir.
How could they have beer if you can't consume them as
maybe
food?
Maybe Chayes and Hamas can eat it. You and I can't, but maybe the Chayes can.
Okay, so you just have to leave it out for Hefter, that's it, at the deadline? Okay.
Yeah, and maybe the Koif will take and make it, use it to go and
dye around.
And dye everything around it. Anyway, continuing on. Alma, Eitzim, Yesh Behem, Mishum, Kedusha Shvias. Here we're talking about Eitzim, and you're saying that they have Kedusha Shvias. Or a minute, I'll ask you a kasha. Ali konim, the ali kfanim. Alim, of course, are the leaves, but of the konim of the reeds, and of the kfanim, and of the vines. She give on bechave, that you went and you collected them, and you put it into a machboy. Machboy means like a hiding place. Al pnei asodah, there in your field. Now, why did you collect these ali konim and ali kfanim? And again, we're talking about in the Shemitah. Lot and achila, if the purpose of collecting them was for achila. Now, these are not for human consumption, but they would be for animals. If the reason why you put them together for achila, yesh mamshim kishu smiyas, it has a din of shmita. La'etim, however, if you collected them for etim that you intend eventually using them to burn for cooking, for baking, whatever, aimam kishu smiyas and no din of kishu smiyas. Ah, so etim do not have a din of kishu smiyas. Yet you said by the svichei stim, which by definition are etim, They do have Kedusha Shvias. So don't you have a stira? Do Eitzim have Kedusha Shvias? Don't they have? Umishani, Omakra says in the Pasuk, Li'ochla, the Mishana Osli, Ubi Urai Shavin. Yotzu Eitzim Shana Osan, Acha Biurin. Since the Pasuk uses the term Li'ochla, where's Li'ochla? So we have the Pasuk here at the top, on the left hand side, Torah Rishonim, Bohisa Shabbos, Oritz Lechem, Li'ochla. That's how we dash in Li'ochla, Vilay the Schoira. She's allowed to go and eat the peiros shmita as long as it's before the zman beer. Okay, so now it says li ochla. How do you define the word li ochla? Of course, li ochla means to eat. However, what's the definition of eating? Mishana osoy ubi urai shavin. That the hanoa and the destruction, we don't really mean destruction, but the consumption, thank you, that the hanoah and the consumption take place simultaneously. Apparently, people's ikar hanoah when they eat is not that it eventually settles in the stomach and in the and gives nourishment to the whole body, but people eat because they enjoy the actual act of eating when they go and chew it. Oh, this is really delicious. Oh, this is great. So there, the hanoah and the beer are happening simultaneously. So that's the definition of li'achla. Says the Gemara, Yotzu Eitzim Shana Asana Acha Biuran. The Hanoah of Eitzim takes place after the beer. What do you mean that the Hanoah of the Eitzim take place after the beer? So Rashi explains, because the Iker Hanoah is after you put the Eitzim into a fire, and then an hour later they turn into charcoal, and now you can use that charcoal, for instance, for baking. So you don't have Hanoah Bishas, it's burning. You have the Hanoah sometime later on. And therefore, that's not deemed to be part of the li'ochla. Now, some of you are saying, why? After all, if I'm cold, and I put on a fire, and I put on the eitzim, and I burn them, I'm having anor b'shas biuran, not only li'acha biuran. Why does Rashi say it's only subsequently when it becomes gecholim? So
it's no longer what it was.
And that's for sure.
It's now cold.
Shelley, you're cooking with fire today.
With charcoal.
Exactly, with charcoal. So if you look at the Toises, two Toises before the end, Shana Osan Acha Biuran, says Toises, Kishanas is Gacheles, when it becomes a coal. Afal Gav, the Zimnan Hana Osan Biuran Shava, even though sometimes you have the Hano and the beer at the same time, you're freezing, it's a cold day, so you go and burn the wood and you sit next to it. Ah, Machaya, Mavam Tzachun. So you have beer and consumption and hanoah at the same time. Oy lebashul, if you want to go and cook something on it, right? You put the fuel in the fire and then you put a pot on and you cook. Mikomokin ikroy lekaim ulahachi. That's not the major reason that people go and collect the wood and go and burn the wood. Ikar hanoah is to go and bake with it, to go and bake bread and bake challah and bake matzah and cake. Obviously, that shows you the staple in those years, as we well know, was, of course, bread. That was the major, major staple.
Isn't warmth when it's cold also a staple?
I agree with you. And that's why I'm pointing out that the Toises feels that that's more the tofel. The ikar is the baking of the bread. I'm with you. I got you. But that's what Toises kasha, and that's Toises said. So getting back to our Gemara, that's the reason why by Eitzim, we say that you're allowed, it does not have Kedusha Shvias, because the only thing that has Kedusha Shvias are those things where the Hanoh and the Biura Shabbin. Now, what about the case of the Svichei Stim and the Koitza? There, the Hanoh comes together with the Biur. How do you have the Hanoh and the Biur together? So if you look, the Rashi continues. Look at the Rashi, Yotzu Eitzim, five lines to the back. Like we just said, it becomes cold. Who the ikar and osim? See, Rashi is already telling us, like Toises said, that's the ikar. Yeah, there are tofels. Avamina tzivoyim b'shas resichas hayoira, as you're cooking the yoira with the vat of the dye. Kol hashoirish, the shoirish, that's the original dye, gets dissipated. The koilet atzava. Nimtu hana osan of urin shava. That's how the ano and the beer are simultaneously. Hilka chalchale alayu shvias. Ah, so therefore the word la'ochla, which by definition means that the ano and the beer take place simultaneously, that's by eating, and that's also by dying. But that's not the case of the eitzim that you're burning, where the ano only comes after the beer. And so now we've entered our stira. the first braisa or the Mishnah that says min hatzoyvim sviches din v'koitze bi'uran hanan osim shava, just like the ochla. That's why yesh len kedusha shvias. The second case, which is talking about stam eitzim that you're going to use for burning, or ein hanan osim bi'uran shava.
Stam eitzim for charcoal.
Sorry?
Stam eitzim for charcoal, not for burning.
Wait. Burning that it should turn into charcoal, and that's ein bi'uran hanosim bi'uran shava. That's the reason why it's not prohibited, it does not have kedusha shvias. Tosis is not happy with the pshat of Rashi with the tzeba. If you go continue back to the Tosis, we were the second line after the title of the efois. Avot tzeba hana osin biurin shava. Why the hana osin kishaloyv shan? When do you have the hana from the tzema that you dyed? When you wear it, I now have a sweater. I now have a coat. Now I have hana. V'ozu kala umispayer at tzeb miyam liyam. As you know, when you wear anything, eventually everything wears off. So as you're having ano, it's also having a beer that the dye is not going to remain forever. Slowly but surely, it's going to fade. So therefore, you have the ano and the beer at the same time. Okay, getting back to our Gemara, last two lines. Va'ika eitzim the mashkan. What about the famous eitzim the mashkan? Mashkan is not the name of a place, but the word mashkan means that they're very, very fatty. It comes like from the word shemen hamishcha, that these are oily eitzim, then awesome urine shoven. What do you use them for? Says Rashi, for instance, for an avuka. If it's dark at night and you want to be able to see and there are no street lamps, you take it for a torch. And these work beautifully. These are so fatty and so oily. Instead of taking olive oil in your hand, you go and take these eitzim and it's a beautiful torch. Then awesome urine shoven. So what would be the din then? Amarava, stam eitzim la zoka hein oim din. That generally 90% of all eitzim are used for hasaka, says Rashi. V'loy l'cha'ir, they're not used for light, like you're saying, making an avuka. Hilkach eitzim, they know they have the status of eitzim. Meikor lechal alayu shvias, you don't have the kedusha shvias being chal, but the sikistim, you do have them, as we said before, because they have anosan ubi urin shava, and that's where we'll stop at this point. Shkoyach, everybody. Thank you for your active participation, and hatzlocha rabba to all. Yep, so it's famous in Eretz Yisrael.